First Peter, chapter 1. I read this to you a moment ago, and we'll just go through this, and I'll just make a few comments about it. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. This is brethren that Peter is writing to. And the apostle says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. We greatly rejoice. Verse 2 tells us, ye elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace has been multiplied to us and is being multiplied to us and shall be multiplied to us. We greatly rejoice in these things. Verse 4, he says, we've been called to an inheritance. He's begotten us again by the Spirit to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Greatly rejoice. Verse 5, kept by the power of God. Kept. You know, it's unfashionable, or I guess politically incorrect in this day and time to say she's a kept woman. Well, the church is a kept woman. I want to be a kept woman. Don't you? The bride of his husband. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season. Now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trials. It's always, if need be, it's always this God, this Lord of our salvation who knows it's needful. And if need be, for a little season, if need be, we might be in some heaviness. Through all kind of different kinds of trials. You know, there are different kinds of trials. I don't think sometimes we think about this, but we have trials in sickness. We think of that. But you know, we have trials in health too. When we're sick, we get weak and call on Him. When we're healthy, we get strong and don't. Riches or poverty, both of those. Great trials. Reproach or calm, both can be a fiery trial to us. Verse 7. Why does he do this? Why is it needful that the trial of your faith, that's what it is, it's the trial of your faith. He only gives this to those to whom he's given faith. Everybody suffers. Everybody in this world suffers things. But if you endure a trial as a child of God, it's because your Father's faithful. He's faithful. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. And when the trial is over, we realize that trial was needful, and it was a precious thing. That we might see how precious this faith is that he's given. Though it be tried with fire, and these trials are fiery. They are like fire that purifies the gold, that purges. You put gold in a fire and it purges the dross, that which is not gold, away from the gold. That this faith that he's given might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Faith, trusting all into the hand of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting everything into His hand. That's the only way I know how to describe faith, is casting all your care on Him, because you're persuaded He's able to keep that which you committed to Him. What is it? Everything. 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 Oh, and that is the most precious, valuable thing He's given us, is to be able to truly cast everything into His hand, to trust Him, to provide, to lead us, to save us. More precious than gold. We have to be reminded of that, don't we? More precious than gold. Gold, anything that we esteem as value, it's more precious than that. And He sends the trial, and everything that's not faith, everything that's not trusting, everything into His hand, He's purging that away. Because everything that's not casting everything into His hand, trusting everything in Him, is dross, and it needs to be purged away. And when we see how utterly weak we are in the fiery trial and in it, and that's when we truly believe, truly see, truly understand, truly rejoice, truly are thankful that our God's able to save to the uttermost. Verse 8 tells us something about what this faith and this trial is about. Faith, whom having not seen, you love. He's given that. You don't see Him, but by faith you see Him, and He is the life. God is the love. He is love. If we're one in Him, it's love's there. We love Him. We love not as we ought. We don't go around bragging on our love, but we do love Him. We do love Him. In whom, though now you see Him not, you don't see Him yet, do you? Faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence. But we do see Him, don't we? We do see Him. We see Him. We see Him by faith. We don't see Him with the eye, yet believing. And ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can you describe it? Can you describe the joy? I can. It's unspeakable. It's being filled with glory only He can give. We can't convey it. And He does this, and He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, I know we're talking about when Christ comes. Jesus Christ comes. Receiving the salvation. But God gives faith, and He tries it to this end. That even now, right now, we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving from the Spirit of God. Right now, even now, this foretaste of the end. And that end, brethren, is Jesus Christ. Even the salvation of our souls. If you want to, I don't know if you mark in your Bible, but if you want to mark in your Bible, receiving the end of your faith, verse 9, the salvation of your souls, that'd be a good place to have a capital S. Good place. Because that's the end. Jesus Christ, the appearing of Jesus Christ, the salvation of our souls. And we can be sure that if we're His child, brethren, to save us from that which is not faith, that's not lasting, He'll do whatever He has to do. He'll stand firm. He'll be a faithful Father. Even though we may pout and say, I want to get up and go back there and play with Joshua, we have to sit and just know He's going to do what's right for us, so that we be turned to Christ Jesus, the end of everything that's purposed, the end of our salvation. It's coming down to a person. You know that? It's coming down. Remember, it's been a while since I've said this. It's like a funnel. It's coming right down to a person. To a person. And we're going to stand before that person. And that person is salvation. Read verse 5 again. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's right. And when we're found praising and honoring and glorifying our Lord and our Savior when He appears, that's the faith that He's going to honor and glorify and praise. Can you... I can't even enter into that. But that's so. That's so. That's oneness. That's rejoicing in Him and Him rejoicing in us. That's oneness. That's joy. That's being filled with His glory. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now He's encouraging us to search diligently this salvation. Now, I said that could be a capital S. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. I've seen him. I've seen him. And this is, look at this next verse again, verse 11, 1 Peter 1:11. Searching. They looked diligently. They inquired diligently. They were looking for this person, this salvation. The prophets of old were. They were, look, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it, the Spirit of Christ, testified beforehand, before Christ came, the Spirit of God testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, that the glory and the glory that should follow. The Spirit of Christ was in them. The Spirit of Christ was using them to testify, testified in their hearts beforehand, and was using them to testify beforehand to them in their day. And also the things they were saying, the things concerning the sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow, everything that's written in the Old Testament Scriptures, in the Law and the Prophets, they wrote of Him. The Lord said, it's written of Me. In the volume of the book, it's written of Me. These Scriptures are written of Him. And they inquired. He gave it to them to give unto whom He would. And they inquired and they searched diligently, looking for Christ, this salvation. Searching everything He said, seeking diligently. His prophets spoke of Christ and of His sufferings and of His glory. Look, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The Spirit of God revealed to them that Christ was not coming in their day. They were looking for Him, just on the edge of their seat, looking for Him. Looking diligently, hoping, trusting, applying their hearts unto wisdom, seeking His face in every word, in every word of God. You have one testified to another testified to another testified all the way down, and it was revealed unto them of old that they weren't just, He wasn't coming in their day, but He was. They were ministering the things that would happen when He came, and take so that we would have those things, and we would know these great, glorious mysteries in the shadows and the types of the Old Testament, in the law and the prophets, so we can look into these things and behold, this is indeed the Christ. Everything that He said He would do long before He ever came, He came and He did everything He said He would do. Exactly according to how He said He would do it. Even the parting of His garments when He was hanging on a cross was done exactly like He said it would be done. Even the fact that when He hung there, they wouldn't even break a bone in His body. Everything. And it all came to pass because He brought it to pass. Exactly according to His purpose, exactly according to His will, exactly according to His power to bring it to pass. He did this. He did it. And they saw this and they heard this and they knew this. And by that same Holy Ghost, brethren, He sent forth the apostles. And they preached this word unto the brethren in Peter's day. And He's always had a witness. He's always sent forth pastors after His own heart who feed His sheep with knowledge and understanding. And He's spoken to them through them this word of grace through the Holy Spirit, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Here's the point, brethren. They inquired. They searched diligently. They believed. They longed to see Christ. This was all that was important to them. That's all that Christ, the salvation, was all that was important to them. And not only the prophets before. Look at the end of verse 12. Which things the angels desire to look into. Oh. He's given me and you something He hadn't even given the angels. They're looking in. They want to look. The angels want to look at this salvation. They want to, just like Simeon said, oh, now I see Him. The angels are diligently desiring to look at this salvation. The cherubims on each side of that mercy seat face that mercy seat. Isaiah said, I heard them. They were crying, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God, our King. They want to look at Him. Verse 13, wherefore, seeing that Christ has come, seeing that Christ has suffered, seeing that He's risen to the right hand of the Father, seeing that He's birthed us into His kingdom, made us to behold by faith that we're separated from the evil, the unbelief, the sin and rebellion and ignorance of unbelief out of this world into this marvelous light, Christ Jesus, and we behold Him as He is. And behold, as He is, so are we. And as we behold Him and we marvelously have all this given freely unto us, seeing as how the trials are all working because He is keeping us by these trials to separate us from everything that is dross and useless and worthless and that we abuse in this world so that we look steadfastly to the end, to that end to which we're coming, which is God Almighty. the express image of our God, the Godhead in a body, Christ Jesus, the Son of God in person. We're coming to Him so that we look to that end only in this life right now. Wherefore, seeing this is the case, and we have these mysteries, and these prophets looked into these things, and inquired diligently, and searched to see what we have, seeing as how the angels desire to look at Christ. Wherefore, brethren, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The loins of your mind, gird them up. Gird them up. How? Search diligently. Inquire diligently. Turn from everything and go after this word. Go after this word that has been, that is the beginning before the beginning as we know it. Go after Him. Be sober. Take these great gifts with the utmost diligence. Hear, search, seek with a whole heart this great salvation. And hope to the end. Even as they endured and continued looking, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of this salvation, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, this is what obedient children are. Everything we're taught, this is the obedience of children. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance when you were dead in trespasses and sins, just living like a beast for the world and the pleasures of this world and being just like this world. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We lived only for the world. We didn't know God then. We didn't know Him then. When our everything that we did in our lives was just for right now, today, immediate gratification, that we didn't know Him. Born of the Spirit of God, called out of the world by sanctification of the Spirit, separated out of ignorance into truth. As He which hath called you is holy. He said, I'm not of this world. Now that's holy. And He said of His people, you're not of this world. That's holy. I'm not what He's not. That's holiness. I am not. He which hath called you, He which hath spoken this word to you, He which hath sent this word to you, He which has given this word to you, He which has given His Son the word, and He which hath worked everything throughout all time to give you this moment right now. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it's written, I'm holy. Or be ye holy, for I am holy. That's both a fact and it's a command. Be ye. And you are. You who are brothers and sisters in Christ are not of this world. You have been separated. Sanctification of the Spirit, the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. And He says, now follow Him. Follow Him. I'm so thankful for your diligence. I'm thankful for your sacrifice. I'm thankful for your example. I'm thankful for you, for your children and for mine. I don't tell you that enough. I tell other people that a lot. And I'm thankful to God for that. Aren't you thankful He's given you a heart that longs to be with Him? Aren't you grateful for that? Aren't you thankful that He's put in you a longing to be with your brethren? The world doesn't have it. The world does not have it. I desire more and more, more and more, to honor Him. The more I see Him, the more I hear of Him, the more He does for me in keeping me from myself, in keeping me by His power, in making me behold Him. The more I see Him, the more I behold Him, I want to honor Him. I want to honor Him. I want to be conformed to Him, not to this world. I don't want to be fashioned after this world. I want to be fashioned after Him. And that won't be fashionable with this world, will it? But that's okay. I don't care. I want to be conformed to Him. In everything. In everything. And I want to be conformed to this world less and less. Look over at 1 Peter 1:13, 3, chapter 3, verse 13. Just listen to this. I just read this to Melinda the other day. Listen how simple and how true this is. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? It's just simple. Isn't that simple? So true and so simple. Look at this next thing he says to us. If ye call on the Father, now this may mean as we're in prayer. I think it also means if we truly profess to be the children of our Father, to be children of our Heavenly Father. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of person, He's not looking at what impresses me and you. Without respect of persons, judgeth. He discerneth according to every man's work. You see, we judge with the sight, with the eye. He judges according to the heart. Teach me that. Teach me to not look with the eye. I don't want to see with the eye. I want to see. I want to trust Him. I want to... He sees with the heart. He looks on the heart. He knows the motive of every man's work. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. You know why that's a rejoicing to me and you, brothers and sisters? Because whenever I doubt you or you doubt me, whether you doubt you or I'm doubting me, when we're just full of doubt and unbelief, He knows the heart He has created. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And He won't deny them that He is. And He says this, if you call on the Father, if you're in prayer, or if you truly profess to be the children of our Father, who without respect of persons discerns according to every man's work, looks on the heart, then pass the time of your sojourning in fear. We're sojourners. Let's don't pass through this world like we're one with it and like we're trying to get everything we can get in it and keep it and hoard it and hold it. and sit on it, and like, this is life. This is not life. Let's pass the time here. It's just a short season. It's just a little season. Pass the time here. Being in this world but not of it. If you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, in reverence to your Holy Father. You fathers know when your children are being honest with you, don't you? Well, He knows more. He's not mocked. He knows. He knows. I want to be a sojourner. Don't you want to be a sojourner? I want to be a pilgrim. I want to be passing through. Just passing through. And this isn't legal fear, brethren. This, it's reverence. This is a little child just desiring with everything to be honoring and well-pleasing because we love our Father. Because we love Him. Our reward is the Father. I want to be faithful. I want to be an obedient child of my God and my Father. And here's our motive. Here's our one and only motive. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, things like silver and gold, things that vain men have passed to us by tradition and just by form and letter and mixed all kind of craziness in with it. We wasn't redeemed with corruptible things. Why do we want to set our hearts on corruptible things then? We weren't bought with corruptible things. We weren't bought with things that perish. We weren't bought with perishing things of clay. We weren't redeemed with these corrupted, moth-eaten, perishing, vile things that we set our affections on. We weren't redeemed by those things. Why we set our affections on them? Why would I want to go after corruptible things? Why would I want to fashion myself after the world? Why would I want to live as anything but a sojourner in this world? I wasn't redeemed with corruptible things. But verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. I don't know how, and we can't put enough emphasis on this word precious. Precious. Most precious. Most costly. Unspeakably valuable. Unspeakably precious. Blood of God the Father's only begotten Son. It's the blood of God. You were bought by His blood. You purchased with His own blood. Bought by the blood of God's only begotten Son. Blood that purged you of your sin. Blood that satisfied God completely. Blood that made it so that God's not ashamed to call you a son and a daughter. That's precious blood. That's precious blood. This is successful, victorious blood, efficacious blood, precious blood. It wasn't shed indiscriminately. It wasn't shed universally. It wasn't shed just at random. It was shed particularly and accomplished the work. precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This one who did it was without blemish, without spot. That makes me want to be without blemish, without spot in this world. As I pass through it, sojourning in it, that makes me not want to be the blemish and the spot of this world. That makes me not want to be one with this world. I don't want to. I can't be. I'm just not even comfortable anymore with the world. Perfect, spotless Lamb of God. One who was never under the curse of the law that I was under because of Adam's sin in the garden. He was never under that. He wasn't under the curse. This perfect, spotless Lamb was without blemish. He was perfect. And yet God made Him to be a curse. To come under the curse of the law. To lie under divine vengeance. To purchase me from the curse of the law. What was the price? What were the wages of the sin? What was the purchase price? What was it? Death. Being cut off out of the land of the living. Being separated from God. How real did Christ do this? As real as He died. As real as He was separated from God. As real as He was cut off. And just that real, I'm made alive. I'm made holy. I'm made righteous. Right now. By the imputation of His righteousness and by the imparting of His righteousness in that new creation that He has created. It's got to be perfect to come into God's presence. And you and I can't even come into God's presence in spirit unless it's perfect. 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 Look at this now, verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You note that word foreordained. It's the same word back up there in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Obedience, sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ. According to the forearrangement. The foreordination. The foreknowing of God the Father and God the Son. Before the foundation of the world, for arranging everything in a covenant of grace, putting a people in Christ and blessing them right then and there with all spiritual blessings in Christ. It was done before anything was done. And that's how secure it is. But was manifest in these last times for you who know Him. For you who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory. That's right. They saw it. The prophets saw. They saw Him. They longed for Him. They longed to see Him. But He was manifested in these last times for you. And you see Him. He's come. It's not in shadow anymore. We know what He's done. And it was not me foreseeing, or not Him foreseeing that I'd believe Him. Read it again. He was manifested in these last times for you who by Him do believe in God. You mean that was even determined before I was? You were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, by God to Himself. He ordered everything so that this gospel comes right to the path of His child, and He says, let there be light. And you see God, and know Him, and understand Him, and believe Him. How precious is this Lamb of God? We wouldn't even believe if it weren't by Him. How precious is this blood of Christ? God raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory. It's precious to God. God's satisfied. He's satisfied. That's precious blood. By Him, by the sprinkling of His blood, the Spirit of God purged our conscience for dead works to serve as obedient children the true and living God. Verse 21, why did He do all this? Why has He done all? Why is Peter saying all this that he set up to this point and reminding us of all this, brethren? Why is he reminding us of all this? That your faith and hope might be in God. That's why God did all this. Is He able to save us and turn us from this world? He wouldn't have made it and allowed sin to enter into it if he wasn't able to do it. He's able to. So what do we say to all these spiritual blessings that's so freely given to us in Christ? Verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You see, it's by Him. This seed by Him. It's not a corruptible thing. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. By the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Why? Why do we want to love each other? Why do we want to be with each other? Why do we want to constantly gather together with each other in His name, in this place, and in our homes, and in our wherever we're to get? Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to be an encouragement to each other? Why? Why do we not want to be fashioned after this world? Why is this the love of God in our hearts? For all the flesh is grass. All the glory of man's just the flower of grass. Why do I want to go after man? Why do I want to go after man and not my brethren? Pure heart. For the grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now this is the word Christ. This is the word that was given by the prophets. This is the word that's been sent to you by the Holy Ghost, by them that have preached the gospel to you. This is the word who is the word who has redeemed His children. This is the word that resides in His people, that is the incorruptible seed. And this, look at verse 25, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. You know what all those things are? Those things are the flesh that perishes. Those things are the fruit of the serpent. That's right, our adversary, the devil. That's what those things are. We hear the oppressor. We hear the briber. We hear the one who just sheds a little doubt and sheds innocent blood on you, or you, or you, or you, or you, or me, or any of us here, and we give our ear to that, and this will be the result. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, all evil speaking. Just him, that fleshly. That, and you know what happens? And we don't see him. Our peace is interrupted. Everything's interrupted, and we don't see him. But he says, lay aside all of that. Lay it all aside. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted, the Lord is gracious. Well, I'm not a newborn babe. Oh, as newborn babes are ever so dependent and helpless and desire one thing. They just desire that milk. Don't, oh God help us, never become anything more in our desire for the milk, for the Word. Let us become nothing larger or bigger or more self-dependent than a newborn baby. Remember bringing them home? We just set ours on the bed and just stood back and looked at it. At her. Just sat and looked at her. She lived for one thing. The milk. The milk. You know where she got it? Snuggled up. Hugged up on her mother. The church is the bride. The one through whom the Word, the milk, comes like a mother feeds her newborn babe through her breast. And that's what he's telling us here. Come together. Everything else is not important. This is it. This is it. Right here, right now, right here. This is it. This is the end. One day, brethren, one day. I will sit right here and we're going to all be facing this way. That way. And I'm not going to be looking at you and you're not going to be looking at me. We're going to be looking at Jesus Christ. God. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, glorified in us with Him and one with Him. And we're going to be sitting there together just praising and glorifying Him. And living in a... never going home because we'll be home. At His table, in His kingdom, in His house, and without this... without the interruption of everything that we despise right now about ourselves, about this world and our longing after it, be free from it. That'll be a happy day. And right now while we're here, it says, unto whom come. And look over at chapter 2, verse 25, and I'm done. I know this, that this love, this not fastening ourselves to our former lust as children of wrath when we were in ignorance, the end purpose of every trial is bring us to this, into this unity, into this, to be newborn babies, dependent upon this Word. We saw this morning, everything begins with the Word. Everything continues with the Word. Everything's grown by the Word. And it's this Word that makes us ever more and more dependent. You see, in understanding, we're growing up. And as we grow up in understanding, in dependence, we're becoming like newborn babies. We're being weaned from the world and more just utterly dependent upon this milk of our Word, our God. Unto whom coming, he said. Look at verse 2:25. You were a sheep going astray. But now, returned, brought out of that strayway by the shepherd. That's who returned us. That's who came and got us and brought us back, brought us to Him. And bishop of your souls. I'm not the bishop. He is. I'm not the elder. He is. I'm not the pastor. He is. I'm not the head. He is. And what he said is, desire this unto whom come. Come, come, come. Hear, hear. Feed, feed. Grow, grow. And all the while we're being weaned, 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 weaned from that which we need to be weaned from, the world. All right. Got a lot to be thankful for, brethren. I'm thankful for you.